Well, who's expectant today? I'm expectant today. Expectant for all that God's gonna reveal, what we're gonna learn. It's gonna take us deeper. Who loves going deeper in their understanding of God? Yeah, I think there's nothing worse than being a Christian for like 1 year, 10 years, 50 years, and like you only knew what you knew at salvation. We are called to understand God and keep growing. Amen? Anyone? We're called to grow. In fact, we're talking over the past couple of months, and Bevan and I were talking. We're talking around like, what's my heart for people in our church? You know, one of the key things is this: first of all, that you find salvation in Christ, amen, right? But second of all, that you keep growing. As an early Christian, you're growing. Someone who's been a Christian for a couple of years, you keep growing. Someone who's a veteran Christian, keep growing. Don't stop. Don't stagnate. God's got more for each and every single one of us to grow in. You know, this Sunday is the first time that we embark on this brand new series, God Is. And it's our hope and our heart that as we grow in our understanding of who God is and have a deeper understanding of what makes God God. Yeah. We believe it's important and it's imperative to know the one, to know about the one. Not just know him personally, but know about his facets and his character. The one who loved us first, the one who saved us through Jesus, to know who God is. You know, a popular yet controversial artist wrote a song declaring who God is. His understanding was through the lens of what he understands in the world. People through all millennia have been telling us who God is. People can have their opinions. People can have their viewpoints, the lenses that they present who God is. Some of them will say God is good. Some will say God is bad. Others will say God is angry. Some will say God doesn't care. And others will proclaim that God is love. So many opinions, so many voices. The truth is, for many people that declare these God is statements, these declarations, that they're situational. Their opinion is based on the situation that they find themselves in. A person's experience of heartache and joy and loss and personal wins, it leads them to declare who God is in that moment. What I'd like us to do today is not declare situational God is statements. What I'd like us to do as we take part in this 4-week glimpse of who God is, to look at what the scriptures tell us. What do the holy scriptures tell us who God is? May our declarations of who God is be truthful and not reflective of our situations. May they be based in the Bible and not reflective on what's happening in the moment. You know, as we go through this 4-week series, you might find, especially today, you might find that we don't go where you think it should go today. So, you could have gone there in the teaching, Pastor. It would have been so much better if you went there. Chances are over the next 4 weeks, we're going to get to where you think it needs to get to. But the depth and the breadth of who God is, it's immense. And I want to encourage you, just hang in there, because we need to get the foundation right before we go off on the branches. Today, we're absolutely looking at the foundations of who God is. Where do we start? Well, I think we need to go back to the beginning. We need to go back to the beginning. Where's the beginning? The beginning of our understanding. In Genesis 1 is the beginning of our understanding from the Bible. And in Genesis 1, starting at verse 1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." This must be the beginning of our understanding of who God is. Straight off the bat, the Holy Scriptures tell us that in the beginning, that God created the heavens and the earth, meaning that God existed before our understanding of creation and when time began. God existed before this moment. Before he created the world, he existed. The scriptures go on to say that now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Take it in for a moment. You say, oh, that's lovely, that's nice. Oh, it's so much more complex than that. The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This is good. As we go through this one, you're going to be like, oh, I see what's going on here. God, who is God? God was before time. God is outside of time. God existed in himself, not created, existed before time began. And he was hovering over the waters of what we understand now. An unformed, empty planet. The scriptures go on to say that God said, God spoke, starting in verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning the first day. God spoke. Who is God? God is someone who can create something with his voice, with his words. He can speak things into being. It's what sets him apart from every other God in this world that people have created. He can speak, and creation comes from his mouth. That's who God is. God the Creator spoke the world, spoke time, spoke everything into being that we see. Let's go a little bit deeper today. You know, there is a saying at the moment, it's been around for a little while, it's within the pop culture that happens in our world, and the saying is this: he is him. Anyone heard it before? No, only the kids. It's like if you're between 11 and 13. He is him. What does it mean? I have no idea. I don't get what it means. It's a frequently used comment that is used in sports or competitive contexts to acknowledge a top-tier performance, someone who's just outside of the realms of normal. He is him. It's a phrase used for a term of greatness to explain that someone's like, they are just the best of the best. They are better than the top 1%. It's this understanding of that person is beyond legendary. That person has skills and abilities beyond what most of the world could even understand is possible. They possess this desirable charisma. They're so confident in their persona. It declares a person's prowess above all others. Now, for those of you who have maybe gotten a little distracted about what I've been talking about just now, and you're wondering, should I go ahead and use this terminology? If you're not using it already, you probably shouldn't. Why? Because by the time you do, the kids will have moved on. If they haven't already. Like, they could have moved on already. Like, I'm behind what's happening. And you put yourself at the risk of saying, showing the young people in your world that you are last week. My encouragement is just be you. Just be you. But that statement, he is him. Why do I highlight this cultural phrase this morning? He is him sounds really close to a biblical phrase that many of you may have heard before. And that phrase is, I am. I am. In particular, I am who I am. It's more than a step above legendary or greatness. I am. It's singular. There is no other but me. Exodus 3:14 says this. God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to say to the Israelites. I am has sent you. A declaration that hadn't been made before. I am. Outside of me, there is no other. There is no other God. There is no other power. There is no other voice that the people should listen to. They should listen to the God of their creation, the God who created them. I am. And this passage of scripture in Exodus, God meets Moses at Horeb, Mount Horeb, and God reveals himself to Moses. Some of you may be familiar with this passage. Reveals himself to Moses in a burning bush that doesn't burn up. Now, I don't know about you, but if you saw on the tree line over there, there was a bush that was burning, just one, didn't spread to the others, and it didn't burn out. I don't know about you, but I'm probably like Moses, like, I need to go check that out, because that is very, very, very strange. So what Moses does, Moses goes to check out what's happening, and God spoke to Moses, and Moses encounters the I am. Can I encourage you? Be aware of what's happening in your world and around you. How's God trying to speak to you? Are you paying enough attention? It's like there's something specific that's happening. It's like God's trying to get your attention where it's like he wants to introduce himself to you as the I am, just as he did to Moses. In this moment of encounter, God calls Moses to set the people of God free from slavery in Egypt. This is what the encounter was for, a purpose that God had called Moses to. This is all preceding, this everything that happens in this passage is all preceding what happens in the Exodus from captivity and crossing the Red Sea and going to the Promised Land later on. Only God, who lives outside of our understanding of science, chemistry, physics, can move outside of what we understand. Only God can. A bush that doesn't burn up, anyone who understands fire, anyone who understands what happens when you burn something, it carbonizes. It literally destroys what's on fire. Only God can do something that should not happen. God is, right? God is. You know, commentaries from theologians suggest that God is saying to Moses, and in turn saying to us through the scriptures today, that he is eternal, the creator, the unchangeable, and therefore always trustworthy. God is showing that he's trustworthy. You know, the Greek translated this in this passage of scripture as, I am the existing one. Outside of me, there is no other. I am the existing one. The Hebrew can also be translated as, I will be what, who I will be. I'll be what and who I will be. God chooses how he presents himself. God chooses how he reveals himself. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to our like mere mortal brains. It's like, God, I don't understand why you revealed yourself in that way. But to the person he reveals himself, it's like, if God hadn't revealed himself in that way, I wouldn't have believed. Anyone been there? So if God didn't reveal himself in that way, I wouldn't have believed. Whatever and whoever he chooses to be, he will be. You know, in this moment with Moses, God revealed himself through a burning bush. In the book of Matthew, he revealed himself as man in the form of baby Jesus. In Acts, he revealed himself through tongues of fire and a sudden rushing wind that filled the disciples with the Holy Spirit. He will be who he will be. You know, adding extra insight around this, that we can't put God into an image. We can't put God into a box, whatever fits our level of understanding. May we understand today that God is the one who existed before our limited understanding of what existence is. He existed before, will exist always. He wasn't created. He created what had never been in existence. That's what God is. God is the author, the perfecter, the finisher. He existed before all things. The takeaway for us today around this is that God is eternal. God is our creator, ever existent and proving trustworthy. This isn't the last time that God reveals himself as the I am in the scriptures. Isaiah 43:10 says this, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant who I have chosen," speaking to Isaiah, "so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." Declaring to the world, it's I am he. I existed before, no one will come after me. Another revelation that God is I am. Humans can try to be godlike, can try and esteem others as being godlike, with catchphrases like he is him. But only God can claim that he is the I am. I am he, the great I am. There was no God before him, nor will any come after him. He is the great I am. Another facet of God is found in Revelation 1 verse 8. This will help us broaden our understanding. You may be familiar with this passage of scripture. And this is God saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." If you are youngish, you may think that the term Alpha speaks to a social pecking order. That's what the terminology has been used for, right? For younger generations. It's like, oh, that guy is so Alpha, meaning that everybody else is Beta. An average. This definition of personality type, A-type personality type, this language has been hijacked for category definition. Let's just be clear about that today, right? It's what we love to do as humans. Categorize everything and everyone. The term Alpha and Omega biblically refers to the first, Alpha, and Omega, last. What? How do I come to that? Because it's the letters of the Greek alphabet. Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. A to Z. No promotions for a big company with A to Z. Some people get it because they've got a prime account. God is stating, "I am the first and the last. The beginning. The end," confirming his greatness, confirming his sovereignty, his authority, his existence outside of creation. Now, here's some implications of what that revelation means for God is when we understand this. That God, that revelation of his I am who I am. I am who I am. Now, We think about us as humans. We'll say comments like, "I'm this, I'm that, I'm good, I'm bad." Situational. Maybe speaking words out that you hope will become true about yourself. It's like, "I'm great at golf." Well, obviously, I'm not. We get in the habit of saying, "I'm this, I'm that. I'm an amazing person." Well, sometimes, like, I'm an amazing person. Other times, not so much. When God says, "I am who I am," when he declares his authority, his existence, his sovereignty, his providence, he means it. It's not a, "I'm hoping to one day be. I'm hoping that when I finish this course that I will be employable. I'm hoping that when I finish this apprenticeship, I can get off $7.64 an hour." Like, no, he. When he says it, he already is. I want you to understand the significance of that. He already is. The great I am. God is Alpha and Omega. For some of us, when we hear this today, we're like, okay. So God's the great I am, the beginning and the end. The author, the perfecter, the finisher. He's eternal. Creation was spoken through his words. And you're like, good, I believe it, done. locked in. Let's move on. We don't need to do the next 3 weeks. For others today, your minds lean into, I want some more proof. I want absolute proof. Where's the scientific proof of all these things? And I have a couple of encouragements for all of us today. Maybe you fall in between those two examples as well. I want to encourage you to stay in the wrestle with God revealing himself to you through the scriptures, through his spirit. It's imperative that we do so always. The second thing I want to say is we need group one and two. We need group one and two. Why do we need group one and two? Group one believes the scriptures and says that because the scriptures are true, that God breathed them, that they're infallible, I'm simply just going to believe the truth. We need you in this house, in the kingdom of God. But we also need group two. We need group two who wrestles with the deeper understanding of theology, people who just want to seek and find the truths of the scriptures so that they can be shared and taught and confirmation of God's truths and promises. We need everybody that's reflected in the middle of that as well. But there's a third group, and none of us can afford to be in the third group. The third group that none of us can afford to be in is the cynical group. We can't, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we can't afford to be in the cynical group. The cynical group ultimately believe that they know best, and unless someone can prove them different, they'll always know best. Meaning that cynicism is not their problem at all. It's actually pride. The devil loves nothing more than to try and convince us, God's creation, that we know more than the Creator. The ultimate way to embrace destroying ourselves is to embrace pride and arrogance in our spirit. Now, I know this sounds heavy, but there's a scripture that I want to bring to you today around this. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. For those of you who don't understand the word haughty, because we use it all the time in our modern day language. Anyone use haughty this week? Maybe your children when they just like weren't listening. You're being so haughty. No, that word means arrogance. Arrogant. That's what that word means. Simply, first comes pride and arrogance before demise. Now, when I talk about demise, I'm talking about spiritual demise today. That we make ourselves further and further and further away from God. Ultimately, if we stay in that place, it takes us away from our relationship with him. See, that's not God's best for you. If you're watching online, that's not God's best for you. Seek him. Inquire of him. Ask him. Look for moments to encounter him like Moses did at the burning bush. Have a burning bush type moment with God. Allow God to speak to you. Be inquisitive. Incline your ear. Turn to wonder. I know it sounds heavy, but I encourage you, if I don't say it to you, no one else probably will. Like, you need me to say this today. It's like you think I need you to say this, Pastor. I want to encourage you instead. Turn to wonder. Seek wisdom. Seek understanding and truth. God will reveal himself to you. Abstain from mistrust. God has proven himself trustworthy. This is especially significant for us in the warm glow of Easter. Like, Easter was last week. This is imperative for us. God proved himself. Because maybe you think, well, how did God prove himself? In the warm glow of Easter, God proved himself more than trustworthy by sending his son Jesus to take the sin of the world through the cross, grave, and resurrection. Anyone still excited about that from last week? I know I am. I know I am. For us to understand who God is, we need to understand who we are to him. Who are we to God? Who are we? His creation. His sons and daughters that he loves so much that he sent Jesus. That's who we are to him. When we understand that's who we are to him, we can begin to understand who he is. He is a loving heavenly father. He is a good Heavenly Father. With all the sovereignty and power that He has, instead of just like flicking the switch to start again, He could have just flicked the switch to start again, right? It's like, ah, let's have another crack. Maybe it'll be different next time. No, no. He has persevered with humanity through thick and thin. And His response was, I will send my Son Jesus as an atonement to take the sin of the world so that all may know me as Father. That's who we are to Him. In understanding who God is, we can take away from what we have learned in the Scriptures. We can take it into our hearts and it begins to change our understanding. God never had a beginning. God was not made or constructed. God simply is. God simply is the great I am. Always was, no beginning, no end. The Alpha, the Omega, the great I am. Is this all God is? Friends, we are just scratching the surface. We are just scratching the surface today. Over the next four Sundays, we're going to get to a lot more of it, but we still won't remotely have covered close to all of it. But we're on a journey, amen, as a church, a journey of exploration to understand the greatness, the power of the great I am. I want to gift this to you to ponder over the next week in relation to who God is. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Take note, in our image, to be like us. You with me today? Some people are getting what I'm putting down. Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and all the wild animals on earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Don't you love the Scriptures? Really clear. Really clear. See, God states in this passage of Scripture, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. We're locking in right now to who God is. When He says, in our image, to be like us, you ready? He's referring to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're made in His image. If we don't understand who God is right now, we're going to fail to understand ourselves. Three parts: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who else is made in three parts? We are. Spirit, soul, body. We'll get deeper into this in the next 4 weeks. I don't want to like, we could deep dive in theology hard right now. But we're made in their image. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Every part of who God is reflected in what He has created. Now, if I didn't have Scripture to back this up, I would be like selling something that's not true. So let's look to the Scriptures. John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Can anyone tell me today, in a nice loud voice, who the Word is that John was talking about in this moment? Why do we understand that the Word is Jesus? When John says the Word, he's using the Greek word logos or logos, depending on where you come from. And this word means that Jesus was the Word of God. Back at the beginning of Genesis, Genesis 1, 26, 27, make them in our image. Jesus was the Word who was with God at the beginning. Why are we going here? We just need to open up our understanding to who God is. God's just not like this big old-looking guy in the sky with a beautiful beard and long flowing hair. I mean, if that's who your God is in your mind, stick with it. But it's more than that. It's more than what you've seen in pictures. It's more than, you know, when you see Jesus on a wall with long flowing blonde hair and beautiful shaped eyebrows, and that's the Jesus you may have seen on a grandparent's wall in a picture. But Jesus is the Word of God who was with him before time began. Now, some of you are putting two and two together when I said the Spirit was hovering over the waters back at the beginning in Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That was the Holy Spirit of God who was with him before time began. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So in the beginning, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, we're one, three in one. Our understanding of the Trinity that we come to. God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. And I want to put it to all of us today, whether you're in the room here for the first time, or maybe you've been coming for a while and you're just seeking faith, maybe you're watching online. I want to encourage you with this today. It's like, who am I? Who am I to God? Well, this is who you are to God. John 3:16 and 17. For God loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Verse 17, God didn't send his Son to condemn the world, but to save it. This is who God is. He doesn't want to see our demise. He doesn't want to see us suffer without him. He wants to bring us close to be known as sons and daughters. His creation, the ones that he created first. Amen. So just with our eyes closed for a moment today, I just want to give everybody a moment, if you don't know Jesus personally, to respond to his love, to know who God is personally, as your Father because he sent his Son. You know, maybe you hear that word as your Father and it's like, oh, you lost me there, because your understanding of who a father is at an earthly level. God's the ultimate Father. No one better. He existed before time began. He created all humanity. And now he's made a way for us to come into relationship with him through Jesus. And so if you're in this space today with people got their eyes closed this morning, I just want to give you an opportunity to say, yeah, that's me. I want to know Jesus personally. I want to know who God is. I want to accept forgiveness of sin. I want to step into the freedom that you have for me, Lord. If that's you on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to put your hand up. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. On the count of three, one, two, three. If that's you, pop your hand up. You can put it back down if you need to. Everyone with their eyes closed, just to give respect to the people around them. If that's you today, now's your moment to respond. So yeah, I need salvation. I need to be saved by God. Anyone today? Don't let this moment pass you by. If you're online today, this is for you as well. This is your moment to respond. Just with our eyes closed, we're going to pray a prayer. Whether you put your hand up or didn't put your hand up today, this is a moment to call on the name of the Lord, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the grave for the salvation that he has for you. What do you pray with me today? Dear God, nice and loud, dear God, I thank you that you sent Jesus. I believe in my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and you raised him from the grave. I repent of my sin. I turn to you. From this day on, I choose to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that that message was a blessing to you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus, first of all, congratulations. We think that that is incredible. And secondly, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, our team has put together some resources, as well as there's some information there for how you can get in contact with one of our pastors, because we'd love to encourage you and connect you into the life of the church.